And now it's time for the Sports Kings from Queens.
And they bring a pressure as well. And they get a knockdown as Witherspoon came under pressure. And Uchenna Nwosu is going the distance for a touchdown.
Welcome to the Sports Kings from Queens. We're all the sports talkers, royal, real, and straight from the boroughs. This is episode 217. I'm Gino, joined by my co-hosts, Kevin and Darren. Joe D, along for the ride tonight. Please, Kevin, catch us wherever you get your podcasts. Like, subscribe, follow us on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram. Give us a like, join our pages. If you got something to say, send us a message. We'll get back to you. Tonight, it's a Super Bowl recap. Super Bowl just finished, Super Bowl 60. Seahawks beat the Patriots 29-13. Guys, let's get the some reactions.
Go ahead, Kev. Lead us off.
No, Kev.
What a beatdown by the Seattle defense. My unit when we did our preview.
Yep.
You know, the final numbers show otherwise. I mean, the total yards was about even, but, you know, about 200 yards in the fourth quarter of, you know, basically garbage time. I mean, they were held to 50-something yards of offense in the first half, held scoreless until the fourth quarter. They sacked May, what was official, seven times?
Six.
Was it six?
Six.
That's right. The one didn't count. The one was turned out to be an interception return for a touchdown rather than a sack fumble return for a touchdown.
Correct.
But my goodness, that entire defense. I mean, you know, you had a couple of guys with two sacks. You had who had the two sacks? Paul and Murphy both had two sacks.
Paul and Murphy, yeah.
Yep. But I thought the entire defense, front to back, played really well. They were able to get pressure. They blitzed some, but they got a lot of pressure with just the four-man as well. They shut down the running game. May, you know, until the fourth quarter with a couple of scrambles when you're playing a little bit more prevent, you know, they did a good job of keeping May from affecting the game, running the ball. They forced him to throw it, and just a great effort by the defense. I'll give McDonald one point here. You know what? We said how many weeks in a row here? There's nothing wrong with taking field goals. When you have a chance to take points, take your damn points. And McDonald, maybe being the defensive coach, appreciates the fact that, you know what, I know my defense is playing great. If I have a chance to put points on the board, I'm taking them. And just three, three, three. And guess what? After a while, it adds up and it puts pressure on the team. And when you're playing that kind of defense, you know, Darnold played mistake free. If he had hit a couple of guys, you know, open, yeah, I know May had a couple of passes, too, that were open that he didn't hit either. My wife said, please mention on the podcast, the reason why the quarterbacks didn't make those plays is because both quarterbacks suck.
Times Darnold missed his passes on three times, he was always under duress and he was on the move.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, I can't criticize Darnold for any of them. And Shaheed, the pass to Shaheed was actually perfect. Just a better play by Gonzalez.
Yeah.
He actually put it right in stride.
But, you know, my wife said, make sure you mention that in the podcast. So
Darnold doesn't suck. Mentioned it. I'm sorry. I'll disagree with her on that.
Well, you know, May was under such pressure for most of that game. I mean,
to be honest, May looked like a deer in headlights in this game. He didn't look like he belonged in this matchup. He didn't look like he was ready for this type of defense. It looked like he would stand there and stare at the blitz rather than trying to pick it off quickly. And it didn't look like they tried to help him out with short passes either.
Did he see ghosts?
Listen, Darnold didn't tonight, but May might have.
But, you know, if you watch the video, a lot of times they brought up the fact Darnold was under just as much pressure. He was just getting it out that half a second early on most of the night. Now, I covered the Seattle offense the other night in the podcast. So I was kind of watching a lot of those guys. Now, JSN went out with the concussion protocol, and he had the ankle issue. But Barner did have a good game. Cooper Kupp had a good game. Kenneth Walker, triple sticks. He did a great night and basically kept moving the chains for them throughout the night. But Darnold did have a lot of pressure on him. If you look at some of those plays, he completed some passes. And even the beginning, the first couple of passes – were right on the money because he put him in some tight spots, but he was getting hit almost every play as well.
Yeah, Smith and Jigman dropped a couple that actually hit his hands. Not saying they were drops, they were tough catches, don't get me wrong, but Darnold found a way to do what he needed to do. The Patriots, where they fell short was the run defense. They just – the pass defense was fine for the most part. I mean, listen, yeah, did they give up the big play to Barner? Yeah, because they were selling out for the run.
Yeah.
Outside of that, you know, Smith and Jigba was held in check. I know Kupp had a few receptions, but they're all short. Nothing really big happened. Problem was that they did not stop the run. They have that big defensive line. They kind of tout with, you know, that they can stop the run with six men, but they could not. Seattle's O-line basically kind of controlled that running game. And Kenneth Walker, they actually brought it up, and I was going to bring it up on the podcast because I did follow him as a freshman and sophomore at Wake. That's the way they play. The quarterback stands next to the running back. They have the ball in the stomach. They stand there for like 2 seconds to decide who's going to take the cut. It's the slowest, most methodical thing you've ever seen. That was under Clawson. It's gone now. But that's what they ran with the offensive line completely spread out. And Walker just kind of runs that way. And it's kind of fun to watch when it's working. When it's not working, you're like, what the hell's wrong with this guy? But, yeah, I didn't think Seattle – none of us thought Seattle or New England would run the ball well. Seattle proved this wrong in this one, G. They really did. They just seemed like they had the number of the New England defense running wide, running big, between tackles.
Listen, the big call was the Seattle four-man front was able to put pressure on them. And then even when they did bring an extra guy coming up, the New England offensive line had no way of covering that extra guy. Whenever they brought that fifth guy in, he was getting through, putting pressure, forcing May to get rid of the ball really quick. I mean, he did throw it a couple of interceptions, but the first one should have been an interception when he threw it into three Seattle defensive guys, and they were just not able to get it. But he just tossed the ball up because he was just completely – he was going to get smashed. So I'm not surprised the way the game went. Kev, great point with the field goals. You know, we say it all the time, put points on the damn board. You know, 3-0 after one, 9-0 at the half, 12-0 at the third quarter. And look, you turn around into the third quarter, you're down 12 already. You haven't put a touchdown on the board. You're still down 12. You still got them on the ropes. And then you score the touchdown at, you know, 13, 20, whatever it is. And now you're up 19. And all of a sudden now, kicking those field goals gave you all those points, and now New England's on the ropes, and they got to do something because if they don't, they're out. They're out of that point. So, any other calls you guys want to get into, Joe?
Well, yeah, a couple of things. One, Will Campbell was exposed tonight on the offensive line. I mean, he just did he stop anybody throughout the game? I mean, every time Drake May turned around, Will Campbell's guy was past them, long past them. So that wasn't good. Also, Seattle was one of the teams that went the least amount on fourth down throughout the season. I don't think they were the 32nd team, but they were towards the bottom. I mean, McDaniel does play a little conservative that way, but it is the polar opposite, like you guys said, of what went on all during the regular season. Everybody going on a fourth down, biggest game of the year, and they took the points because I guess they learned their lesson from everybody else.
Yeah, for me, a couple of quick things. Number one, I don't know how you go for one down 19-6.
Yeah.
You have a chance to cut. And listen, they didn't do anything. They didn't close the gap. But you got to try to make that 19-8 so a touchdown and a field goal could get you that tie.
Yep.
I don't understand. In a world where everybody goes for two for no reason whatsoever, in all sorts of places, in the fourth quarter, Vrabel's not smart enough to know that, disappointed me. And Stephon Diggs, I mean, we were texting each other, invisible in this game. And they're playing zone. It wasn't like they had him matched up with a man. He didn't get open. Hunter Henry really didn't do anything until late in the game either. Matt Collins was the only kind of weapon that they were finding, and that was those two plays on the one big touchdown drive until the end. But, yeah, I was a little disappointed that the New England's, you know, Stephon Diggs, who's been dying to get to a Super Bowl, gets there and doesn't show up. You know, outside of the fight, I don't know what else he did. And there was a punch thrown in that, but they seemed to all miss that. You know, that kind of stood out to me.
Kenneth Walker,
any other things?
Kenneth Walker just got the MVP.
Well, it kind of was going to be one. I was rooting for you, G. G had Myers.
G had Myers. He had the kicker. But
Maria Taylor's 9 inches taller than Kenneth Walker. It's hysterical. I know she's wearing heels, but still.
You know, I didn't realize Maria Taylor and Mike McDonald's went to school together. They went to
I didn't realize that either.
To high school and college.
See, Kev, Joe gives you the inside information that me and Kev don't always provide. That's the stuff. That's the stuff we needed. That's the stuff that would have made the podcast just a little bit better. And listen, it was an anticlimactic game. To be honest with you, and I'm not trying to make it a political thing, the most exciting part of the game might have been the halftime show. I didn't understand a word of it, but there was a lot of energy and high, you know, high angst. What I've come to realize is I watch the NFL 18 weeks a year. I watch every Sunday. I watch Thursday. I watch Monday. Come Super Bowl, they really don't care about me. You guys are all the same boat. We watch all these games all year long. To me, none of the halftime shows mean anything to me because I just want to watch football. And they make the they make these halftime shows too long. So whether it's The Who or The Stones or Bruce or any of that, I don't enjoy any of it. I want to watch the damn game. But I'm a little different, and I guess they're not targeting guys in their 50s when they come up with these shows. So either way, you know, so be it. But it was kind of – I wouldn't call it a snooze fest, but it was good defense. And really just New England didn't seem like they had a – they didn't really have a plan offensively of how to deal with the Seahawk defense. And – it was a little surprising that they came out with, you know, the genius that is McDaniel coming out so flat.
Yeah, even the second half, they came out with nothing.
And you know, to be fair to New England Patriots, I mean, their defense played really well too.
It did.
I mean, you know, they kept – it was bend but don't break. They gave up a few field goals, like we said. You know, four field goals in three quarters, that was it. You know, but when you're on the defense and you watch your offense get 50 yards in the first half, I mean, it's got to be demoralizing. It was three and out for what? I think it was the stretch was what, 6 out of 7 or 7 out of 8 drives were three and out. At some point, the defense is going to break. But for three plus quarters, that defense was really good on the Patriots too. If you enjoyed defense from both sides, I mean, it was a great game. And you know, the four of us do enjoy a game where the defense is playing well too. You know, we don't need 50-45 shootouts to enjoy the game.
Well, even the Seattle punter, did you see Dickinson? He had a couple of kicks. And I mean, spinning the ball made a difference in towards field position wise.
That might have been the most anticlimactic, onside kick I ever saw. I mean, it was like a one hopper right to him. He just fell on it. I was like, all right, I guess they're not really trying. You know, they were trying to take it from the water boy where he would look at the guy that was most nervous and kick it hard at him. Didn't really work out. You know, but they tried. You know, you can't take anything away from New England. They got to the Super Bowl. As a Jet fan, I'm excited that they didn't win it. Happy for Sam. Always was classy here. Again, like we talked about, his best receivers as a Jet were Robbie Anderson 1 year, and the 2 years after that were Jamison Crowder and Jamison Crowder. So you can't sit there and say that this guy had a lot to throw to, but you know what? Listen, he's a Super Bowl champion. You know, the Seattle Seahawks are back and better than any of us thought they would be this year. I mean, I picked them to make the playoffs. I didn't have them going to the Super Bowl. G?
Kev was the only one of us that had Seattle and the under, which hit. There's a couple of the bets that we gave you hit. Matt Collins, touchdown, plus 425. A mixed parlay with Ken Walker III and Stevenson for 150 total yards or more hit at plus 209. If you had yellow and green, yellow or green for Gatorade, plus 260. And by the way, Charlie Puth was at 111 seconds. So it did go under for the fourth time in the last 5 years. a couple of them hit. Listen, we liked it. We thought it was a good game. I thought it was a good game. You know, only the second time, no touchdowns through three quarters. So, you know.
The hardest thing about this game was picking who would be the MVP because the Seattle defense as a unit looked so good. Walker was doing well but didn't get into the end zone. Sam threw about 50% but did throw a touchdown. I mean, you didn't know really where to go. There wasn't one player that had three or four sacks. There wasn't one guy that rushed for two touchdowns or threw for two or three touchdowns. So the hardest part was – picking who the MVP was, and I guess it basically tells you that Seattle was the best team as they were able to put an entire team effort and really kind of, you know, really weren't threatened in this game. I mean, you never really felt like New England was in it at all, even when it was 3-0, 6-0, 9-0. You didn't feel like they had anything going.
Yep.
Yeah.
If
they were able to make one play in the first three quarters to get something going, but they never made a play on offense. And that was the difference. You know, I mean, like I said, you know, Seattle's offense was very conservative. You know, there are a couple of times, you know, third and 13. All right, we're going to run the ball, almost like center it. Let's not take a chance, turn it over. Let's take the field goal. Knowing that the way their defense was playing, New England was not making the play in the offensively. I mean, this is a team that we mentioned last week on the preview. This is an offense that the team scored 54 points in three games in the playoffs, 40 of it by the offense, really, because the other 14 were a pick six and the set up by the defense at the 12. So this was an offense that was struggling. Joe, you mentioned, you know, Anderson struggling the whole playoffs, and today he looked awful on the offensive line.
With Campbell. Don't worry, during the preview, I was trying to say Carlton Davis. I kept saying Carlton Brandt because of my love of Kansas basketball. So there you go. You know, 10 years ago, I'm all about it. So it happens.
Yep. You know, it's late. It's after the game.
No doubt about it.
All right. Any other final thoughts, guys?
Well, I mean, you leave this, and one thing I'll say is, you know, Stafford against the Seattle defense looked a lot better than May did. So they got the MVP right, in my opinion. And and Stafford did that three times against him, so I guess he gets used to it. But the New England offensive line, they had a little work to do with tackle. You know, outside of that, this team's going to be competitive for a long time, but they don't feel like you're a team that other teams can't catch up to. Same thing with Seattle because, you know, Chicago's good. It's only going to get a little bit better. Detroit should bounce back. The Rams were right there. So we should have a real competitive season. Doesn't look like a dynasty to me with Seattle, but they are a very good team.
So can we say first blush? It's the Super Bowl just ended. What's your prediction for next year's Super Bowl? I'll give you mine. I'm gonna say Lions over the Bills.
Okay. Wow, this is on the spot. So let's see. I'm going to take the Rams to get there. I'm going to give Stafford the year, and I'm going to say he gets back there. And I'm going to say that the Rams are going to play the Broncos.
Okay.
I don't have a prediction. Come on, I got to think about it a little bit.
Chiefs over the Lions.
No. Wow, the Chiefs.
You know what? They're too good. Even though I don't think Collinsworth mentioned Mahomes. That was one of the bets.
He wanted to so badly. He did mention Kelce once. He ran that tight end pattern thinking, blocking, like only Kelce's ever done it. By the way, Collinsworth's inconsistency of saying they're just playing zone to, they're confusing them by their jumping out of last minute. In the last second. First half, you're saying they're only playing zone. Yeah. And then in the second, and kick off the third quarter, he starts with they're confusing him with it. I don't know what Collinsworth's trying to say. He just contradicts himself all game long. He wasn't bad tonight, but he contradicts himself a lot.
I think Kansas City with the high draft pick this year can help itself so much.
And I think the Chiefs will be competitive again.
I think this was just 1 year. Everything went against them this year. I think the Chiefs will be back to the Chiefs next year.
All right, Gino, write these down for next year.
And Gino reserves the right to make his decision. He chooses not to run.
Right.
He chooses not to make a decision at this point in time, and that's okay. You guys have any final points before we wrap this shindig up? We are the Sports Kings from Queens. Darren here with Kevin, here with Gino, and guest star Joe coming back from Italy from the ice dancing to talk about the Super Bowl. Please download our podcast here at the Sports Kings from Queens. Anywhere you can get a podcast, whether it be an Apple product, Spotify, TuneIn, whatever you like. We're posting a ton on social. Please like it. Please share it. If you don't like it, pretend you like it. Share it anyway. Do everything we need you to do. And without any further ado, congratulations, Seahawks, and make your sports be with you.